Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Let us know what's on your mind. Text line is appreciated, but I do appreciate all of the feedback. Joining us now on the line represents the 2nd Congressional District, but in all likelihood, I don't think you'll have much of a contest with the general election, but Barry Moore, likely our next 1st Congressional District Congressman. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, we're doing good. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, thank you for coming on. Always appreciate the time. Well, like I said, you're talking off air. It's been about a month since you won the primary, the Republican nomination. Have you had a chance to kind of catch your breath and, if anything, probably spend some time familiarizing yourself with what's going on in the western part of the soon-to-be AL1?
Yeah, we are kind of catching our breath. It was obviously a team effort from Team Moore to get the job done. We worked very, very hard and spent a lot of time on the road letting people know who we were, talking about the record. I always say hindsight's 20/20, but then honestly, you can look at what we've done and kind of know what we're planning on doing, and that's taking care of the people, meeting the folks that we're going to be representing, and we spent a good bit of time in the last few weeks over there meeting the mayors, meeting the local community leaders, business leaders. We still have a lot to meet yet. So we're making an effort to try to set appointments as we have time between votes here in D.C. to go out, meet people, see what the needs are. And look, that area down there, the coastal area, is very important, obviously, for commerce, for tourism. There's a lot of just economic engines. They kind of all, you can lump them into one as a big economic engine for the state. But there's a lot going on. I tell everybody, it seems like, and this is not an original thought, but it's just the recent talking to community leaders is that that's been an ember down there, and the oxygen is coming, and we're starting to see this thing really take off. Mobile, Baldwin County, the way it's growing, the way it's going to have an impact on the state's economy, it's going to be quite interesting to watch, and I'm excited to be a part of it and plan to get plugged in and help where I can.
Customer, I have a question for you dealing with the 2nd Congressional District. I mean, it's going to be your parts of your former district that you're seating, and you're picking up the coastal part, but we've got two candidates left. Well, what would you say to them? I mean, do you have any parting words of wisdom to them? Just looking at, suddenly you're going to be representing a big portion of what will be now soon to be your former district. Well, what do you think? What do you think they need to know? What do you think they need to do?
So I think just be clear on the message. I mean, regardless of party right now, the border is an issue. And that district's a lot more moderate than the new one is going to be. The new two is going to be quite a bit more moderate. But I think we can all agree that communities are not safe. They're not secure. The border's wide open. The economy's bad. And, and President Trump was speaking to an event recently, and he said, if you're for good schools and you're for secure borders and you're for supporting your police and you're for, an affordable living, a lower inflation rate, then you're a Republican. And I think that's the message they need to run on, is that regardless of what your normal party affiliation would be, what your race is, whatever, there are certain things that we can all get behind. And I think that a safe community, a community that allows our kids to have good schools, a community that's not, we don't have a wide open border, people pouring in, and inflation where we can afford our gas and our groceries. Those kind of things, I think, Derek, regardless, I think that's where the folks in District 2 need to run on. I think what they need to run on, certainly, is the ability to communicate, hey, we've got the answer to the problem, and we can make the community safe. We'll secure the border. We'll get runaway spending under control. And certainly, there are people who worry about the size of the federal government and bring it on freedom and liberty. And so, I mean, there's some things they can run on, and I would just encourage them to get out there and tout the message of, hey, you may be a Republican and not even know it. Get the people in their camp and hopefully turn the votes out, and maybe they'll have a win in the process.
Well, I think when I talked to the chairman, John Wall, of the Alabama Republican Party, it's that even Democrats are a little wary of some of the what we're calling woke policies or woke agenda that's just being thrust upon everybody right now. And that he thinks you run against that, and you talk about the importance of pushing back against that. I mean, you're really going to do well, even among Democrats.
I would agree 100%. I mean, there is a a group of Americans that shut down Bud Light, and that wasn't just Republicans. I mean, there are some things that are over the top, and this CRT stuff, the continuation of dividing the country, dividing these communities, and certainly I think that it's, you can always address the wokeness. When you look at just the transgender things, the grown men changing in girls' bathrooms, regardless, that's a bridge too far for many Democrats. And I think even displacement of American workers, I mean, where you're seeing a lot of people that work everyday jobs, these folks flooding across the border illegally, they're going to start displacing those American workers. In addition to that, they're going to start claiming social services, money that was set aside, Jeff, for educating the taxpayers' children. Now those kids are being kicked out of schools to house the homeless, or to house the illegals. And then you got the homeless veterans being kicked out of areas to house these illegals. And so I think that there's a message that certainly resonates. And I think that that's moving people away from the Democratic Party. I think that's why you see President Trump polling higher among Hispanics and Blacks. And, you know, honestly, we don't know that that'll actually mature into votes. But I certainly think that it's a movement of the needle that we've not seen in recent history. And I honestly was speaking to a gentleman a few weeks ago. I think I might have mentioned this, but I spoke to a group, and he came up. He was a Democrat. He told me that. He said, we've been duped. He said, all these years they've told us that a voter ID was racist. He said, I think they're going to replace us. And so those communities are waking up. They're seeing the crisis that is the southern border. They're seeing the crisis of runaway spending. They're seeing crime. And the same Democrats that told you, well, just, you know, you don't need guns. We'll protect you. You can always call the police. But once they took the guns, and now they're saying they're defunding the police. They're trying to walk that back, but that's what they did. And they've created victims within these communities out of their own constituents.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. Congressman, we'll shift gears here just slightly. Washington D.C. The FISA renewal, and I've seen a lot of stories about it this morning. Can you talk to us a little bit about what's going on here?
Yeah, so it was basically another unfortunate example of the Uniparty working against the American people. And you know, Jeff, if you've been tracking, I sit on the Judiciary Committee, and we had John Durham in talking about what he discovered in his report. He said it was sobering, but the weaponization of the intelligence agencies within our federal government against President Trump was one of the first prime examples where they took FISA and General Flynn and spied on his campaign. And so this FBI just wanting this blanket reauthorization, there are a lot of us who have concerns. I mean, the Fourth Amendment, it certainly isn't for sale, but it shouldn't be infringed. It's just like the Second Amendment. And so now they allow these FBI to do these warrantless searches on American citizens' queries, but it's just searches. That's the word. 300,000 unauthorized without warrants. And, you know, there's just an abuse. We know we cannot trust these agencies, these intel agencies. I mean, disinformation is what they do for a living. And sometimes I think they get in these rooms up here and they scare these folks and say, oh, we got to reauthorize FISA. Well, not at the abuses they've admitted to doing. I don't think we need to reauthorize it. There has to be not only guardrails, it may need to be shut down for a while. I am not a fan of what they've done. And when they spied on the Trump campaign, and then the same FBI, I mean, Comey knew coming out of the meeting with Clapper and the Obama administration that this Russian collusion narrative wasn't a real thing, but he still spied on General Flynn and allowed that to perpetuate that rumor, that story, that somehow there was collusion between Trump and Russia. And he allowed that to go, and he allowed his agency to abuse the power of FISA and the Fifth Courts to spy on a political presidential candidate. And certainly the next election cycle, they quiet the Hunter Biden laptop story. This FBI cannot be trusted with this kind of authority, and I think we have to make sure that they have warrants if they're going to search the American citizens. We don't want them to be able to buy that data and backdoor that search. So there's a lot of things going on we're trying to clean up, but right now, I don't think the American people and many of us and conservatives around the country do not trust the government. But I think it's interesting that the Judiciary Committee actually had their committee of jurisdiction on FISA, and somehow they allowed the Intelligence Committee in D.C. to get the jurisdiction to bring a bill, supposedly a bill, that was going to be a compromise. But it really does anything. It doesn't do anything to slow the spying on U.S. citizens by these intel agencies. And so we brought a good bill out of judiciary, and actually it had bipartisan support. I think it came out 38-1 or 38-2 out of our committee to stop this FBI from spying on U.S. citizens. And somehow the Uniparty in Washington, D.C., moved over to the intel community. They said, oh, we're going to reform FISA, but they're not really reforming FISA. They're going to have to use it as a talking point, but it's not really a reform that we need and we expect.
Carson, why are so many Republicans so wedded to the status quo? I mean, you see the usual suspects in it, but like this one, I feel like just the mood of the country right now, at least even just Republican voters, not really where there seems to be a disconnect between like sort of, and you call it the Uniparty, but I mean, there's a lot more Republicans than there aren't that are kind of on the side of the renewal of FISA. And I bet if you looked at, you just polled Republicans in general around the country, it's disproportionate. I mean, it goes the other way where they're don't touch that. Well, what's the disconnect here?
Yeah, I just think that the D.C. system, and again, the intel agencies, the big spenders in D.C., they have a way of scaring people. The Republican members mainly, you know, we lack courage sometimes. And I think they say, oh, you know, we got to have this ability to spy to catch the bad actors in the country. Or we've got to have it. You cannot give up liberty for security. And I think Franklin said, if you give up one, you deserve neither. If you give up liberty for security, then you deserve neither and don't have neither. And what's happening up here is they're scaring these guys saying, hey, you know, we can't shut the government down. If you do, that's going to be horrible for the party. Or you got to reauthorize this FISA or terrible things are going to happen. Well, not necessarily, but not only that, sometimes our liberty is worth taking the risk to take time to allow this. And hey, Jeff, if this thing expires on the 19th, they're trying to scare everybody, they still can go for a year. So it's not like we don't have time to fix the issue, but they love a crisis in Washington, D.C. Well, it's the fear of a government shutdown, or the FISA, you know, is going to expire, or raise the debt ceiling. You know, we were told, hey, you got to raise the debt ceiling, or the credit ratings of the United States are going to go down. Well, these guys raised the debt ceiling. I didn't vote for it. And our credit rating still went down. And these guys still spend money like drunk sailors. So they use fear as a motivator. We got to take a step back sometime and say, look, business as usual in Washington, D.C. is not what we need. We need to really start reforming and fixing some of these issues. And if we allow FISA to expire, it gives us 12 months to fix it. If we allow the government to shut down briefly to get the thing fixed, to get it back going and get some guardrails on it, then I think the American people would support us in that process. Because what we're doing now, you call it Uniparty, you call it a majority of Republicans. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's not working for the American people. And it infringes on our liberty daily. And this FISA reauthorization is just another step towards tyranny where the government can spy on U.S. citizens and we lose our liberty.
Well, here's another thing. And just the behavior of some of your colleagues on the Republican side that, oh my gosh, these right wingers, they're wrecking the process. And Marjorie Taylor Greene and the motion to vacate. And she's taking some heat for that. I think it's more of a gesture rather than a, you know, serious thing to unseat Mike Johnson. But here's the thing, Congressman, how did we get to this place? And like, what makes possible when we have these impasses on FISA, where how does a Donald Trump get elected in America? Why are members of Congress acting in a, what they would consider to be a rogue manner? There's never this introspection. Like, what are we doing wrong here? How do we improve upon it? What's the marketplace? What's the voters' will right now? How do we turn this around to where we don't have this? That never happens, it seems like.
Yeah, and I think, Jeff, I think we are living in a very interesting time in the history of this nation. I think that many of us thought that our government was working for us and that we could trust these agencies. We could trust the IRS. We could trust the FBI. The CIA to do the right thing, you know? And I think what we've learned since Trump won, and even the media, in some cases, many Americans trust the media, but I think since Trump won in 2016, the way they went after him, who used to be a darling of the left, and he was in Hollywood, and he was in all the movies, and he had all these cameos in these shows, all of a sudden, this outsider comes in, and he realizes there's problems, and he begins to pull the veil back on the swamp. And I think if Hillary would have won, we'd have never known, Jeff. But I think what happened is when he won, many of America started saying, why are they so against this guy? I mean, he was a 77-year-old billionaire, never committed a felony. Now he's been arrested, and he's been charged with 91 felonies. He's been impeached twice. I mean, his home's been raided. What is it about him that terrifies the government but not the people? And so I think as we're looking, once he got elected, I think all of us are now recognizing that there is a populace of people in this country that thought, well, you know, D.C.'s kind of working for us, and the CIA would never do this, and the FBI would never do this. And we're seeing it now that they're just totally weaponized against the American. I think what we've learned through the last year or two, few years now, since Trump went in, certainly the judiciary, between the Durham reports and what Christopher Wray has told us about the operations of the FBI, certainly what Merrick Garland is doing with the DOJ, with the way that IRS went after conservative groups, there's a change coming, and it has to be the right change for this nation to maintain the things that we founded it on liberty and freedom and opportunity. And so I think that's why it's not all of a sudden that I think it's been going on a long time. I just think we have realized now that, oh, my gosh, this government actually does not love the American people and does not work for the American people. I think the Trump was the beginning of that. This is the process working, maybe not in a way we all wanted it to, but I think the American people are waking up and they're sending these chaos cowboys. We've been called House Freedom Caucus, Marjorie. All of us have been called crazy names. But in reality, those are the people, I think, and I've said it before, if this nation is saved, they'll be the ones that reform government to give it back to the American people and stop this cancer that is D.C., this swamp that is this system that protects itself and punishes the American people from doing what it does to.
Hey, Carson, real quick, we were real low time, but I want to get this in. The Southern Shrimp Alliance, I've gotten a bunch of news about this. Kind of what this is and what you're doing here, if you can, in the next minute or so.
Yeah, so we're just trying to make sure that we protect those businesses, man. They've got some things going. Regulations we find all the time, to me, just seem to be the biggest issue of government. Our free market's prospering, and so we're trying to allow some more free market things to happen and turn these guys loose. It's like building these bridges. I mean, we built the Empire State Building in 12 months, and now it takes you 12 years just because of regulatory issues. We're trying to make sure that we protect these folks so they can get out and make a living, and so we'll continue to work with any of those industries. Reagan said it this way, Jeff, the government's out on the economy is when it's moving it, you tax it. If it keeps moving, you regulate it. If it fails, you subsidize it. We're like, hey, let's reduce the regulations and taxes, allow these people to make a living. So we're working in that direction. Hopefully, we'll be able to get more plugged in as we start to address those issues.
Congressman, we always appreciate you coming on. Let's do it again real soon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Congressman Barry Moore there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.